Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 12th chapter. These are the words of Christ. I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress am I under until it is completed? Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, five in one household will be divided, three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. Jesus also said these words to the crowds. When you see a cloud rising in the west, you immediately say, it is going to rain. And so it happens. When you see the south wind blowing, you say, there will be scorching heat. And it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and sky, but you do not know how to interpret the present time. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Grace and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
During my 2 weeks of vacation, I knew that as I came back to this Sunday, this would be the reading that we would gather around. These words of Christ. These words that I proclaim at the end, the Gospel of our Lord. Gospel meaning good news. But what is the good news of these words? How can we gather our hearts and say thanks be to God when we hear of this small apocalypse? Son against father, father against son, mother against daughter, grandparents against children, you name it. How do we say thanks be to God? Where is the good news in that? That Christ has come to bring fire. As he says in the same words in Matthew, have I come to bring peace? No, I have not come to bring peace. I have come to bring a sword. Who is this Jesus? Who is this Jesus that we talk about in terms of love, in terms of acceptance, in terms of welcoming and hospitality? Who is this Jesus that says, let the children come to me, and then says, in a family of five, two will be against three, and three will be against two? These words haunt me. As Mark Twain so famously said, it's not the parts of the Bible that I don't understand that bother me. It's not those things that I can't figure out that worry me. It's those parts of the Bible that I can understand that give me great bother. Do we understand what Jesus is saying today? Do we understand this baptism that he speaks of? The same baptism that you share in. This baptism of redemption and forgiveness of sins. This baptism of new birth and new life. This baptism that Christ says will lead to enmity between you and the world. To kind of bring our words together, I'm going to read from the first chapter of John. Words that to many will be very familiar. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was light, and the light was the life of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. Light and dark, good and evil, life and death. Heaven or hell. The Christian life is often one of choices. We make choices. Every day I make choices and you make choices. Some of those choices will build up the kingdom of God in the forms of love and support and charity and prayer. And some of those choices that we make will tear down the kingdom of God. We will make choices that serve our greed, choices that serve our lust, choices that serve our vanity. But make no mistake about it, we make choices. And when our choices conflict with others, that's when we have households divided. That's when we have 2 against 3 and 3 against 2. When a father chooses a different path than his son, we have father against son. When a daughter chooses a different road than that of her mother, we have mother against daughter. All of us make choices. The world calls us to choices. Choices of how we use our time, our riches, our gifts, our abilities, our compassion. Choices when we keep our mouth closed and when we speak up. Choices whether to act or sit on our hands. Every day we face these choices, and we are responsible for them. The choices we make are not just ours alone. The choices we make on behalf of God. If we take seriously that we are baptized into Christ's life, that we are baptized into His death, and that we are baptized into His resurrection, that we come here and we share in His body and blood, that He lives in us and that we live in Him, then our choices have meaning. We are not solitary individuals. We are not islands unto ourselves. But what we do affects others. What we do affects the kingdom of God. How do we use what's been so richly given to us? How do we make our faith known? How do we share our grace? How do we make sure that darkness does not overcome the light? Choices. Paths. On the road of life. And every relationship, every event, every decision offers us different paths. We can choose the path of light, the path of God, the path that builds understanding, or we can choose a path of darkness. A path that only works to serve ourselves, a path that works to exclude others. Which path do we choose? What path are we walking? These are difficult words of Jesus. They should trouble you. Because these are words that say we are responsible for our choices. That we own our decisions. That we make them. Now we have the good news of Jesus Christ. We have the empty cross, the empty tomb. We know that when we inevitably make bad choices, as St. Paul says, me first among sinners, we can come to the cross of Christ. We can receive forgiveness. We can recognize who we are as children of God. And we can go forward, remembering those words as Jesus said, sin no more. That's confession. Repentance means turning the other direction. It's not just enough, according to these words of Christ, to come to the cross and say, I'm sorry, Jesus, and leave here and go live the exact same life. Because that's not repentant living. That's just sorry. Didn't mean to do it. Repentance comes to the cross and says, yes, I have made these choices. Yes, I see where I turned to the darkness. Yes, I see where I didn't reflect the light of God, and I don't want to do that anymore. I want to sin no more. And as St. Paul says, the good that I want to do, I do not do, and the evil that I don't want to do, that is what I do. It happens to us. And we come to the cross, and we own it, and we recognize it. We experience the gift of Christ on this altar, someone who has given Himself for us, so that He can live in us and that we can live in Him, and that we can be filled with the power of His endless life. A power to help us make the right choices. A power to help us live in the light of God. A power to help us seek forgiveness. A power to help us experience God's grace. And a power to help us make those things known to others. I say at funerals, I say on Sunday morning, I say beside hospital beds, may the peace of God that passeth all understanding be with you. How can a Christian have peace? All this talk about choices and light and darkness and responsibility for the things we do, how can this be a peaceful life? If we've honestly tried to live our faith, we have not fully experienced peace. We know that when we have put our faith first, when we have put the path of life first, we have experienced as many apocalypses that Christ speaks of today. We have experienced exclusion in relationships. When we give tithe 10% of our earnings, when we give of our talents and our abilities and our time, we experience poverty. We have 10% less than we started with. We can buy 10% less things. When we try and share the gospel, we can experience the dirty look, the whisper, the exclusion. How can there be peace in all of this? This is not the happy-go-lucky Jesus. Your sins are forgiven, go on your way. This is the Jesus that says, your sins are forgiven, sin no more. This is the Jesus that holds us to accountability. This is the Jesus that represents a God who cares. A God who cares whether you pray for your neighbor or not. A God who cares whether you use your gifts and your talent for the betterment of others. A God who cares about your faith and your well-being. A God intimately involved in your life. We might even call this God like our father or parent in heaven. Someone who cares. As a parent, I understand this. I deeply care about my children. I don't just care about their future. I care about their daily lives. Have they had their vitamins? Are their teeth brushed? Are they flossing? Are they eating proper food? Are they going to bed at the right time? Are they having their bath? Are they reading their stories? Are they saying their prayers? That's our God. That's the God that Christ calls His Father in heaven. That's the God that we pray to as our Father. This is a God intimately involved in our lives. Not a distant God, not some obscure power, but a personal God. A God that loves us. A God that forgives us. And a God that, yes, cares about us. Peace. How do we experience peace? How do we experience peace in a life that has so much friction? To live out your Christian faith will involve friction. It will involve sadness. It will involve hard times. It will involve exclusion. It might involve poverty. It might involve torture. For millions of Christians around the world, it might even involve death. How do we have peace? I can only speak of my own life. And I recognize that I do that quite a bit standing here. And I don't do that to hold myself up as some kind of moralistic role model saying, live like me. Again, I'm reminded of St. Paul's words about being chief among sinners. I speak of myself for two reasons. Why I constantly, every Sunday, seem talking about myself. Reason number one, because for me, God is real. God is not some distant entity. God is not some obscure spirit floating through the atmosphere. God is not just another word that we put on good luck or good fortune. God is involved in my life. And so when I speak about my life, I'm speaking about my experience of God. How God has forgiven me. How God has guided me. How God has corrected me. This is the God that I know. And it's all I can testify to. And the second reason I speak of myself is because I don't want to be so pretentious to speak for you. I don't know your lives. I don't know how you experience the risen Christ. I don't know the things you struggle with. I will pretend to know the things that keep you up at night. I will pretend to know the things that you bring to the cross. But I can only hope that in faith, we share the same risen Lord. And so I speak of myself and myself alone. And I speak of peace and how I experience the peace of Christ that passes all understanding. Tomorrow will be August 19th, Monday. Probably not a big date for any of you. For Laura Lee and I, it's a big date. It's our 13th wedding anniversary. 13 years ago, 2000, August 19th, at 2 o'clock, maybe more like 2:20 because someone was late to her own wedding. Laura Lee and I were married.
great day. There was dancing, there was celebration, there was hugging, there was kissing, there was photographs. Awesome. Then that day ended. People went home. Presents were unwrapped. And we got to work with life. I was a four-year university student. Worley moved to Saskatoon. Found a new job. Supported me when I went to school. We rented a U-Haul, moved to Toronto together. Came back to Saskatoon to finish grad school. Moved to the big town of Kyle, Saskatchewan. Lived through a summer of 48 degree weather with no air conditioning. Had our first child. Received a call here to North Battleford. Prayed about that. Started ministry here January 1st, 7 years ago. We stand here today, blessed with two children. Enjoying the love and support and friendship of all of you. But you know what? And maybe your marriage or your relationships bear this out. There's a lot of hard times in there. I'll give you the highlight. There's times when the fridge was empty. There's times when bills were due. I certainly had times of sickness in my life. Lori and I went through things that we keep as husband and wife. There was decisions. There was lots of prayer. There was lots of unknown. But throughout it all, I can look back at every one of those days of those 13 years that we've been blessed together, and we have enjoyed peace. We have enjoyed financial success. We've owned one home in our time together. We don't take fancy vacations. We don't do a lot of crazy stuff. To the outside world, our lives might be even kind of boring. We took a week and went camping in Alberta. Went to Callaway Park. Went to a beach. Had a great time. Blessed with our children. But there's lots of things that surround us. Lots of things that pull at us. Lots of things that could cause a husband and wife friction. But throughout our 13 years together, we've always enjoyed the fact that we've been on the same path. That we shared a vision about faith. That we shared a vision about family. That we shared a vision about husband and wife and the love that we share. And no matter what the world has thrown at us, and we've experienced sickness, and we've experienced worry, and we've experienced death, we've always experienced peace. Because we've always walked the same path together. A path of support and mutuality and love. A path that united us together. And as the song says, no storm could shake our inward calm. Because to that rock, we were clinging. And we come back today, 13 years after marriage, and I look forward to the future. Because we have shared that same path together. And we pray together as a family. We talk about scripture as a family. We talk about the choices we make in the world as a family. We talk about the presence of God as a family. And we walk that path together. And we have peace with one another. Make no mistake. The darkness tries to surround that light. The darkness. Whatever words on it you want. Temptation. The devil. Consumerism. Whatever it is. Will certainly try and pull us off the path. We'll do as Christ says today. Try and put enmity between us. Husband against wife. Child against parent. But together we have been able to walk. And we have experienced peace in our lives. A peace not of the world. A peace not of our understanding. A peace not because of a bank account or a purchase or a holiday or some sort of prestige, but a peace that passes all understanding because it's a peace that comes from God. It's a peace that allows us to walk together. I know no matter what happens, we are together. This is true in my life of faith as well. I've experienced quite a bit. Try and be a pastor or a preacher in the year 2013. Try and speak experience the comments that you will hear, the jokes that will be made at your behalf. People who will look at you with sadness because you're some sort of backward weirdo. People will assume you're a Bible thumper, a door knocker, who knows? Trust me, I hear it. I go to weddings. People ask me when I'm leaving, so the party can start. That's okay. They just don't know me. I can forgive them that. I have peace in my marriage, in my life as a father, and in my life of faith, because I am walking a path of light. I will stumble. I will trip. I will veer. I will venture. I will detour. But thanks be to God. Thanks be to the cross of Christ. Thanks be to what we celebrate here. I can find my way back to the path. And when I am on that path, I have peace. When I am chasing false gods on false paths, and to all of us, they present themselves differently. Some in the form of vanity, some in the form of financial rewards, some in the form of prestige, you name it. I have no peace. I'm exhausted, I am worn, I am beat, I am frustrated, I am angry, but I have no peace. When I am on the path of light, when I am walking in the footsteps of Christ, I have peace. The darkness can't give peace. The darkness cannot extinguish the light. All the darkness in the world cannot put out the light of one solitary candle. The darkness does not win. And this is the good news for us. When we experience the lives that Christ talks about today, when we live authentic lives of faith, and if you are, you will experience this. You will experience discord in your relationship. You will experience doubt. You will experience frustration. When you experience these things, if you are working in the light, if you are walking in the light, if you are working to live in the light, you will experience peace. You will have the peace of God that passes all understanding. Whether it be in sickness, or in death, or in unemployment, you name it, we will experience peace. Life will not be perfect around us. Tears may still fill our eyes, but ultimately, we will have peace. Because we are latched on to something greater than us. Something that will never decay. Something that will never be extinguished. And that is Christ. That's the good news of the gospel. That's the good news of these words. Christ isn't saying to us, here you go, this is your curse, this is your damnation. When Christ talks about family against family, when Christ talks about the sword rather than peace, Christ is just telling us how it will be. Because Christ knows the sinful world will not tolerate the light, that the darkness will try and overcome. And when that happens in your life, know that the darkness does not win. The cross stands empty. The tomb is unused. Amen.